Hi everyone, and welcome to SPED Homeschool Conversations. We are glad you are here with us tonight. Our topic, as we're launching into this month of September, we're going to start talking about health and health for your kids, for you as parents, family in general. It's something that, I guess with COVID going on, it's kind of at the top of everybody's radar. But when you have children that have special needs, sometimes we have lots of medical issues, and we just really want to focus on that this month as we are just digging into some topics as you're starting your school year and maybe thinking about what else can we be working on other than just curriculum. So we want to thank Dr. Heather Manley for joining us tonight and being part of our conversations. We talk about how to empower children and teens to make healthy life choices. Thank you so much, Dr. Heather, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this stuff. So
yeah,
happy to be here.
Well, thank you. And we also want to thank Dr. Lynn Erb, who is sponsoring this episode of SPED Homeschool Conversations. We'll learn more about her and the services that she offers families who help children with special educational needs and homeschoolers. But we're just going to kind of dive into this topic. But we thank you if you're watching us live. I see we have a couple of viewers already. But we do this live so you can be part of this conversation. We want you to bring your questions, your comments, and to join us. And we are live right now on Facebook, as well as YouTube and Periscope. So thank you for joining us. And thank you for bringing yourself into the conversation and making this a discussion that we can all benefit from. Dr. Heather has a lot of information, and you're not only, so you're a naturopath doctor, and you've written curriculum, and we're going to talk a lot about all of that, but I thought I would start out just asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself and what exactly is a naturopath doctor, and then what led you to create your curriculum, Human Body Detectives.
Yeah, well, that's a great place to start. I'll talk about myself. I got my undergraduate in pre-med. I actually started in wildlife conservation, but at the very last year, I thought maybe I should go pre-med. I'd always been interested in health and nutrition, and my mom used to make fun of me. So I would spend all my allowance at the 80s health food store buying like 20-pound loaves of bread. And so I thought, you know, maybe I should just do that. So I'm really happy I did. And after undergraduate, I worked for a conventional medical doctor, and which was a really fabulous experience because he was a busy practice and he threw me in. I think like the second day I was taking blood from him.
Wow.
But I mean, I feel bad for that patient. I don't remember. I mean, the drama behind it is gone, but hopefully it went well. You know, he taught me how to look at labs and he dispensed pharmaceuticals and, you know, so that it was really a great experience to learn a lot. But while I was applying for medical school, I was in the Yellow Pages, so I'm kind of dating myself. And I stumbled across a naturopathic doctor and I was like, what's this? So I called him up and I was like, you know, I'm applying to medical school, but like, what are you? Who are you?
Right.
He was wonderful. And he told me mostly about just the philosophies and the principles of naturopathic medicine, which, you know, the big things are really finding the root cause and doing no harm and, you know, prevention. You know, I think like those are the ones that really struck out to me because really none of that was happening in the conventional medical doctor's office.
Uh-huh.
And I'm learning a lot, but I'll never forget this one patient. I mean, she came in like clockwork every 6 weeks with a sinus infection, and the doctor would he wouldn't even look at her and just would give her a prescription. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was, you know, I always thought that was strange. And then after talking to this naturopath, and like, I remember, I think I brought it up with him and he's like, oh no, we you know, there's connection to the gut and diet. And I was so then I ended up applying to naturopathic medical school. At the time there's only two accredited, one in Seattle and then one in Portland, Oregon. And that's where I ended up going. And yeah, so it's very similar to conventional school, medical school, all the ologies and, you know, cadavers and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we, you know, cardiology to pediatrics. I think the biggest thing that differs between the two curriculums is that not only do we learn pharmacology for a year, I think it was just a year, but we, our doctor's bag is a lot broader and wider and deeper. Mm-hmm. So we take, you know, a couple of years of botanical medicine and homeopathy and hydrotherapy and physical medicine, nutrition for 2 years. And so, you know, that allows us to really be able to work with a patient and personalize care for that particular person, because we are all, physiology is all pretty much the same, but sometimes it works a little bit different.
Yeah.
So to be able to optimize a person through individual care can be really wonderful for health.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's what, that's naturopathic stuff and how I got there.
Yeah. So then how did the curriculum come about? Was that something that was new, you know, when you first started, or something you added, you know, after you had been practicing for a while?
Let's see. Like, I think, like, when I finished school, I had 2 babies when I was in medical school, which is, I don't have And when we came, when we moved, we spend most of our time in Hawaii. That's where we brought the kids up. I primarily was starting to see pediatrics, like just seeing children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people gravitated towards me because I had kids.
So,
you know, which made sense. I was in the thick of it with them. And and then when they started to go to school, I would just go in and help the teachers, you know, give the teacher a break. And the only thing I could really bring to the table was to talk about digestion. And then I would give in food, and the kids just went really crazy. Like, they, you know, really wanted to learn more about the, like, how food, what happens when they put it
what
in.
What happens? Exactly. It's like a mystery.
Why we're doing that. And so, you know, that actually got me all excited. And so I started to do some more, like, research, you know, went to the bookstores and libraries to try to find some books that really talked about the different systems in the human body, not just the human body, because you see a lot of that in elementary school books. It's like they just present the whole body, which can be really overwhelming and kind of misleading to children. And then there was no books on nutrition. And I was like, you know, we should be weaving these two together, because, you know, we were just talking before we started, is I teach physiology at a local college, and I teach the kids, I tell my students this, I'm like, we can learn physiology backwards and forwards, but if we're not taking good care of it and nourishing it, it can't do its job. It's physiology.
Yes.
So it just seemed like really important to weave those two together. And so that's how Human Body Detectives happened.
It
wasn't in the market. And I do find over and over again with patients, and this, you know, especially with children, because they're so malleable and pliable, they soak up everything. But if they understand how their body works, it's much easier to convince them to make healthier lifestyle choices.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I just put up the website for that. It's humanbodydetectives.com. It's where you can find that curriculum. And we'll talk a little bit more about that kind of at the end as well. And just some specifics if that's something that you want to include in your teaching. So just know, if you are watching with us, you can add your comments or questions as we're going along. But I have lots of questions, so I can fill in this time really well and ask Dr. Heather as well. So first off, why is it important to talk with children and have them and teens about healthy life choices? I'm just thinking about, like, ramifications of if we don't. But also the benefits on the other side if we do.
Right. Well, I think one of the big things that people don't really speak, or even, like, well, they don't think about, is that except when they are sick, but when we are healthy and we're, like, you know, we feel really great, we have more choices in life. Like, we're able to do more stuff when we feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, that's a really important thing to remember, is that when we are healthy, we're able to, like, especially since we're talking about children, is like when they're eating really well, like if they're going to be able to run faster, score that goal. If you're a reader, they can read more. Like everything is going to be easier and broader choice range. So I think like that is a really good thing to be thinking about and can be a very useful tool. Maybe not with teenagers because they're always harder to convince something. But with younger kids, you know, if you can start to tell them like, hey, do you want to like score that basket? Like, you know, magnesium in it. And, you know, that's going to, you know, really make your cell, your, you know, cells happy to be able to do that. And then I think like, I just can't help but bring this up is that, so not only are we, you know, getting a healthy body and how beneficial that can be, but it's really supporting our planet and our environment. So when we're making healthier food choices, I mean, more particular food, you know, we're really supporting a sustainable food chain and regenerative farming. So we have richer, nutrient-rich soils, which not only helps our food be more nutrient-rich, but just helps all of the planet, not the planets, but the animals and the plants around to be supported by that. So,
I think we often don't think about, you know, we just get to the grocery store and you buy your food. Our family lived on a farm for 5 years and raised all of our own food. And that made us really take a step back to what is our food being grown in? I mean, we were surrounded by acres of soybeans and corn being sprayed by Monsanto. And, you know, it's just the kind of, we had this tiny little hub in there where we grew our own stuff. But, the majority that is mass produced is so drained of nutrients. We call it food.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that is, that's why I talk to, you know, everyone about, like, it's not just the choice for you, but it's actually for the planet and for, you know, future generations. It's, it's just really important. And then I think if we can tap into being aware of food and how, you know, food is making us feel, you know, that is going to be a huge part of it too. And bringing that awareness into kids was really very empowering. So, kids, you know, are starting to, you know, kind of connect how food is making them feel and function, you know, it's, and then, I mean, I talk about this a little bit as a good story about my daughter, you know, like when she was about a preteen and she was going to Starbucks all the time when Frappuccinos were big. And I never really wanted to say, no, you can't have that. I'd rather come to them themselves. So every time she ate this Frappuccino, she'd come home, she'd feel sick and she'd have stomach ache and complain. So probably after the third time, like I was like, huh, well, you know, like kind of did that reverse and said, you know, what did you eat today? And then of course I knew.
And right.
So, you know, the minute she made that connection, that awareness between the Frappuccino and how she felt, like she never had it again. So I think that's really a good way to begin conversations with children to make changes. And, you know, I think the benefits are huge for parents because your child's going to feel better. They're going to be in better mood. Their moods are going to be stable. They're probably going to be more focused and do well in school. Just in general, they're going to be happier because they are going to be able to be doing the things that they really want to do. Playing soccer or reading more books and not being tired. So I think.
Yeah, it's a win-win if you can get the food in them.
Another topic is the picky eater.
Yes, I know. We've done a whole, if you want to go back, we've done ones on feeding therapy, especially for children with autism. That is, know, you know, some of the things we talk about, that it's really, really difficult in just getting them onto a good diet. Go back and watch those videos because we're not going to address that much tonight, but there's some really good suggestions from a couple experts in that area. So,
Other thing is just the ramifications too. I think that's one of the, you know, big things that we need to talk about as well too, is that, you know, our children are, you know, plagued with chronic diseases right now. And a lot of them are actually adult diseases. And so, you know, that we are now seeing in children, whether it's diabetes or hypertension, heart issues, obesity, you know, and those are direct links to lifestyle. So, you know, the last thing you want to, you know, as a parent is to be having to go to the doctor's office all the time because of this kind of stuff. So I think it does behoove a parent to really take some, some perseverance and really try to help themselves and the family just make healthier choices.
Yeah. It just breaks your heart to see how many kids are getting these chronic diseases, and it's bad enough as an adult going through it but watching your child go through it as well. And there's so much background on that, but I just finished reading Eat to Beat Disease by Dr. William Lee, and that was a very convicting book to me about just what food does and just what I need to be telling my children. So,
right. I haven't read that. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. So, you know, just adding certain foods, and then it's all the medical research behind the foods themselves, which, you know, it's almost like medicine. So that, very, very convicting. My neighbor and I are reading it together, and we keep saying, healthier food choices.
I mean, it just makes sense once you start, and there's a ton of research that does back, healthier diets and, you know, just healthier. I mean, not even talking about food, but just like moving your body. And I think hydration is something we don't really talk about much. How important it is to hydrate, keep our bodies hydrated.
Yeah, that is important. And just keep all the cells talking and moving.
Plump and happy.
Yeah. So, so what types of things do our teens do? Trying to read my own handwriting. I should have looked at what I typed. What are the things that our kids or teens do or don't do that have really dramatic effects on their health? And, you know, that's kind of going into this hydration and other things. It's not just diet. But what are the main things that we as parents need to be aware of and looking at and kind of gauging? Are they making healthy choices or are they not?
I have to talk about food because food is really the gateway to health. I mean, our cells need the nutrients that we get from our food so they can function optimally. So, you know, really that is really important. And we can talk about some ways to make sure that the nutrition is happening. You can't help it when especially teenagers, when they go out into the world and you don't know, you have to let that go as a parent.
That's very good advice.
I mean, to stress over what your teenager is eating outside of the home it's not even worth about. And I think, because I have an 18 and 22 year old, and I had to learn very fast with my older child to just don't even think about that. But definitely, dehydration, and kids are just not hydrated. We have water bottles, and everyone's kind of got one handy, but they don't always drink it. I have this I had this 6-year-old patient, I think she was about 6, like in kindergarten or grade 1, and her mom, she was chronically in the nurse's office at school and with headaches. And so the mom called me up, and so we sat down and we talked to the girl and the mom, and we went over everything she was eating and doing and feeling where the headaches were, and we talked about her eyes, and she had just went to an eye doctor, so we knew that, we ruled that out. But when I started asking her about what she drank, I mean, this girl never drank water. It was only juice. It was not an easy transition for her because water doesn't really taste great. So we had to get really creative with introducing water, and started out with herbal teas, and that we empowered her to go choose these herbal teas that weren't the caffeinated ones, but the herbal ones. So great flavors, and had her lick it, made it iced, so it was the way she liked it. after them. We ventured into infusing water with, you know, lots of citrus and fun mm-hmm. things. And gosh, I think within 2 weeks, like, the headaches were gone.
Wow.
So, you know, so hydration is really a big, big player.
Right. And sometimes when you think you're hungry, you're actually thirsty.
Yeah.
And that it can be a huge thing. I bought my kids these giant water bottles, and now I hear them, like, coming downstairs, filling it up out of the Berkey, and, you know, getting their full thing of water, and it just makes me excited. They're drinking water.
It is exciting. Yeah. I am a huge component of, and I suggest all my parents, patients, not to only drink water, but to introduce herbal teas into the mix too, and ice them, because there's, you know, some nutrients that you can get from the herbals that can be really good for the body as well. And you're kind of getting two things for one. You know, you're getting hydrated and you're getting some nutrients. So it can be really beneficial.
Yeah, a friend introduced me she grew up in South Africa, and so she introduced me to Rubelos tea. And she said, that's what we drink instead of Kool-Aid. It looks like Kool-Aid. It's a bright red color, and it has kind of a sweet, natural taste to it. And
It's great. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we don't think about that. So other than water and food, I'm assuming exercise?
Yeah, so I think, like, exercise is a really big one. And you know, kids playing outside, I just feel like it's a lost thing. Like, when my kids were growing up, we lived in a cul-de-sac at the time, and there were a lot of kids in the neighborhood. And, you know, they were pretty good about playing outside, but not as much as it was for me. Like, I mean, we were outside all the time. Mm-hmm. But one of the main reasons for that is we didn't have Netflix. We didn't.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I don't think there's iPods anymore. Everyone's got an iPhone or some kind of phone or some kind of device. So we have all of those things that kids are looking at, and video games. So everyone is so stationary. And I think that is a huge problem. And it is. I mean, there's a lot of research for that, backing that up. So I think we need to be paying more attention. Parents need to be paying more attention to that and coming up with solutions within the family to get their kids outside. And if it involves them to do the same thing, which is probably a good thing, we got to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm as a homeschooler, I would program that into our day. Either play outside time, or it was a physical activity that we were doing. You know, when the kids got older, it was like, okay, you go to Taekwondo, or, you know, just those types of things. My daughter and I do aerial silk, so we built that into her schedule for school this year. I said, okay, what days are we doing it? And it's going to be mandatory. You do it.
That's so great. I know my sister, at the beginning of this, the craziness that's going in the world, she bought a trampoline for the backyard. And so it's two boys, and they're young, my kids. So, you know, like, they really love the video games. I have two girls. They never were really into video games, thank goodness. But but the trampoline has really, I think, saved my sister. Because, you know, when the kids are outside playing hard, you know, they come home and they're tired.
Right.
And then they sleep better. You know,
Their brain is calm.
Yeah.
And there's a connection too, isn't there, between stress and exercise, and you can reduce your stress
levels. Yeah, especially with kids. I mean, sometimes it shifts a little bit when we get older, that we have to be more careful with what type of exercise. But as kids, I mean, just blowing off steam, it can be really great. So especially right now, when, you know, kids are like, what's going on in the world? You know, it is great for them to go jump on the trampoline and not think about the soccer that they're not able to play this fall.
Right. Yes, exactly. Just different kinds of movement and enjoying the moment and not. Yeah. Hopefully it'll change next year, but staying in shape for it. You know, I guess that could be an incentive. You know, if you want to play soccer next year, you don't want to be sitting on the couch all year.
Really good. That is a good incentive. It's always about being sneaky, I think, as a parent.
I know. Sneaking food into things. I have so many recipes that add things in that my kids never knew about. It was funny because after I had my cancer surgery, I couldn't move my arms. And so I had to have my 20-year-old boys help me cook. And so my son is making taquitos with me. And I said, okay, now you have to put the mashed beans in there. There's beans in these things? It's like, yeah, there isn't. So now he's excited about it. And I was like, okay, there's beans in there.
Yeah.
He never knew it.
There's a lot we can do being creative and introducing food into. I try not to I usually talk to parents about just being creative.
Yeah.
Not manipulating or just being more creative.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, once they get that taste, then they realize, oh, it's not really that bad. So, well, we're about halfway through our discussion, so I'm going to give Dr. Heather a quick break, and we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we're going to have her back, and we're going to continue talking about just how to empower your kids and teens to make healthy life choices. And make sure you pop your questions and comments in so we can include those in our discussion. So I'll see you in a minute, Dr. Okay. Heather. And we're going to hear from our sponsor, who is Dr. Lynn Erb. And I'm going to put her information up here. She doesn't have a website, but she does have a phone number. And her phone number is 610-659-8864. And again, I'll read that at the end. But Dr. Lynn is one of Sped Homeschool's partners, as well as Dr. Heather is, too. Dr. Lynn provides online psychoeducational evaluations for children, adolescents, and adults. She evaluates students from every state and many foreign countries as well. So, of course, her phone number that I just gave you is a U.S. phone number. But if you are in a foreign country and you're looking for a psychoeducational evaluation, you can contact her. She can identify a student's strengths and weaknesses and provide invaluable information to ensure academic and personal success. Dr. Erb tests for ADHD, dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, learning disorders, processing disorders, and executive functioning disorders. She designs an individual treatment plan for students that is easy to follow and uses state-of-the-art resources and instruction. She knows what works. Her evaluations are thorough and easy to understand. Her expertise has made it possible for many students to achieve things they never thought was possible. She wants your child to be a success and provides the support that you need to make learning a positive experience. And again, her phone number is 610-659-8864 if you would like to talk to her more about her services and just see if that might be a good fit of what you're looking for to figure out how to best help your student. So thank you, Dr. Lynn Erb, for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. And we're going to bring Dr. Heather back now and continue our discussion on empowering teens and children to make healthy life choices. We've had such a good discussion so far, so I'm excited to continue this. So, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, now we've been talking a lot about kids, but as parents, we are influencers to the choices our children make. So how can parents influence better choices without dictating them to their children?
Well, I mean, I think the easiest thing to do is like the monkey see, monkey do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be showing them that it's important to us and, you know, showing them that it makes us feel good. And then, you know, I mean, kids are always, even teenagers, they're watching us all the time. They're observing, they're listening. And I mean, sometimes I've heard my younger daughter, you know, in the other room talking to a friend, and she's basically saying what I have said to them. Well, it's good.
It's like music to your ears, right?
I'm so good at that. You know, because they look at you stone face and they're like, whatever, you know, but they really are listening and they're watching. So, you know, if they see you out, you know, going, you know, walking the dog or taking a jog around the block or going for a bike ride, or if you're, you know, a big soccer player, you're playing with some adults, you know, in the league, you know, that's just going to inspire them and get them excited with movement. And then I say this with, you know, at the dinner table, you know, just put it all out on the table. You know, self-serve is really a good thing. And I mean, I do that a lot with salads. You know, I just, you know, you have a bowl of lettuce, but then you have lots of other little bowls. So they can make their own salad with what they want. And so, you know, that can be a good thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is, we have to step up as parents.
Well, it's making those choices available, you know, like you said, on the table. And I'm finding the same thing for my husband. You know, I made carrots tonight, and I said, did you like them? I didn't even tell him how I made them. And he's like, yeah, they were really good. And I said, I didn't put any butter in them. And so, as I said, I just want to be able to eat the leftovers since I've been on a vegan diet. And I said, so I just put walnut oil and olive oil in with it instead and cooked it down. He's like, oh, it tasted like butter. So surprise. Just kind of putting those things out there and making better choices at the grocery store even before they get home.
And that's one thing that I have suggested to parents in the past is, I mean, it can be, usually when I make suggestions, parents are like, what? Like, they're very resistant. But then when they start to think about it, they're like, okay, maybe this will work. But, you know, sometimes, like, you know, having your child, you know, if you say, okay, listen, you're going to come to the grocery store with me and I want you to pick out, you know, four things that are healthy and colorful, you know, and then you can pick out one treat, you know, and that could be, you know, just get some more excited about the whole process. So, and get some involved. And the other thing that I have suggested in the past is, you know, it's hard right now, like going to the library, but if you have a lot of really nice recipe books, get them out, get the post-its, and just around the dinner table, the kitchen table, everyone's telling you what they want to eat, you know, like really dictating what's going to be on the menu. And, you know, they're more almost accountable to making sure they try it.
Right. Exactly.
So, but then again, then they can be part of the process. You could do that and then go to the grocery store together. You know, it does take a little bit more work and you might not be able to can't do that for every single meal, but you can kind of, you know, set the stage for that for a few meals a week.
Yeah. I had my kids do that for, you know, just one meal a week. I said, okay, I need help. Who's taking what meal and who's helping me and what are we making?
And right.
That was great. And they, you know, they stepped it up and
You're teenagers, right?
I have two young adult sons, but they did this when they were younger too.
Yeah, I know that's what I was gonna say is that, you know, the younger kids can do a lot more than we really give them credit for. So
and I love that you talk about introducing them to the grocery store too at that age, because otherwise all they think are the options is what we bring home, and there's so much variety. It's like going, you know, to even a farmer's market and seeing all these different vegetables that aren't even, you can't even find at your grocery store, and exploring that world of these are other foods that maybe in a typical American diet we don't see that often, but are so good for us.
I go to the farmer's market every week, but I live in Hawaii, so we have all these kind of fun foods. But I've never bought one before, so it's a little bit embarrassing, but I bought a soursop. You ever had one of those?
I haven't.
I wish I had a picture to show people, but if you, they're green and they're kind of spiky, like they're kind of strange looking. And I was with my older daughter and I'm like, let's just get it, see what happens.
Right.
The farmer's like, yeah, this is a good one. You can eat today. You know, it was soft. And then we went to another vendor and we were buying some, you know, raw vegan cheese made with macadamia nuts, which is really great. If you ever, I know you said you're vegan, so I don't know if you've made your own cheeses, but.
Well, I've made cow's milk cheese for years because I used to milk my own cow. And so I've got the equipment. I just haven't done it yet.
Well, the macadamia cheese is really great. So anyways, we were buying our cheese there and we were telling them we bought it this soursop. And so he was like, oh, make sure you keep it in the fridge so it's nice and cold. And when you slice it open, it'll, you know, it's really nice when it's like cold. So So I was like, well, you know, like, that's so great for my 22-year-old to hear that, and that we're being adventurous and trying new things and helping the farmers. So yeah, it was really good, actually. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know the season of them, but so it is good to you're right, bring the kids to the market and the farmers market and mm-hmm. and let them pick things out. Like it's even like having a garden if you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just even if you're in an apartment or a small house and not a big backyard, you know, plant some herbs and, you know, do some things that, you know, get kids in touch. This is kind of going back to, you know, not only are we, you know, being healthy bodies, but a health that reflects in how a planet, making our health mm-hmm. plant healthy. So, you know, yeah. introducing herbs is a really great thing.
Yeah, it's so years. Packed with good nutrients for you.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's so simple. My daughter surprised me. I mean, we had lived on a farm for 5 years, and she never really helped with the gardens, but she approached me this year, and she goes, you know, I don't have a whole lot for school this year, because we're almost done with her doing homeschooling, and she goes, maybe I think I want to start a garden. I was like, where did this come from?
Don't even question it, is what I say.
I know. I was like, okay, I was thinking about it like at the beginning of the year and then how we could do that, because we're putting a pool in and there's really not going to be room in the backyard, but I was thinking of like hanging it on the back of the garage where there's nice sun, so just kind of a hanging garden. But I was like, well, sure, why not? I haven't done gardening in a while. It'll be a fun thing.
Yeah. And I find that, especially with my kids, when we did have a garden, they would go out and pick the herbs or the green beans, and then they would eat them. Like, there was not even a question asked. Like,
mm-hmm.
they were just so excited about eating, like, even radishes, which are, you know, they pulled them. They're like, oh, yeah, I got to eat this. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's there's a deeper connection there. It's like, this is what I grew, so I'm going to eat it. So, yeah, makes them a little more adventurous. Oh, excuse me. So when you work with families and individuals, what are some common misconceptions or pitfalls that they can fall into about what is healthy and what is not?
Well, I think the media makes everything so much more difficult and more confusing. And then I think families get into this overwhelm. Like you're just saying, like, we don't even know what to do, so we're not even going to do anything.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when I do talk to patients and families, I'm like, you know, it's really a lot simpler than that. You know, it might not be easy at the beginning because, you know, we get into these habits. You know, even when I go to the grocery store, I realize I'm always grabbing.
Exactly. The same things. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, like, and I see that whether, you know, even if, you know, I'm, you know, 99% of the time are picking really, you know, going in the periphery and store and picking healthy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we get into these habits. And so, the principles is pretty simple, but, you know, making the change can not be as easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I always go back to, like, it's, you know, the basics, you know, like, just whole colorful food, you know, that's really where we have to go.
Right.
You know, so when you're at the grocery store, you know, like I just mentioned, you know, go on the periphery of the grocery store. Don't go in the middle where all the mm-hmm. processed food is. Make sure that you get a variety of food and, you know, different foods, or like the soursop, which is what I tried.
Right.
Adventurous, and just keep it simple.
Like, mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of being in the kitchen, so I really do try to keep it simple. I do make it like nutritious, you know.
Right.
I've never used walnut oil, so
I've been using a lot of hemp oil, olive oil, and just a variety of different oils, flaxseed oil, of course, and but just for salad dressings and things, you don't want to cook it too high in temperature, but. Yeah.
Right. I know we use avocado oil a lot for like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ghee is good too. So it's just, you know, keeping it simple and just going back to that and being really going, going back to being more aware of your food choices.
Right.
Because that's really the first step in making any kind of change is the awareness
mm-hmm.
part of it. So, and then I think one thing that I really talk to people about is like color up every single plate that's put in front of you. So,
yeah.
I mean, again, so many families and parents are resistant when I say this, but I'm like, but once they start doing it, they're like, wow, this does feel really great. It's like,
mm-hmm.
have a breakfast salad. Like, start your vegetables in the morning. And
uh-huh.
it really kind of encourages you to eat more vegetables. Sets a good tone for the day. So you're just eating, you know, the vegetables throughout the day. So,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, make a vegetable salad. You can put an egg on it if you want, or tofu, you know. Or beans, and you know, make the Mexican salad, or you know, you can get pretty creative, and it's pretty simple and can be very filling. And then,
yes.
If you're a smoothie person, then there's tons of great smoothie recipes that you know include lots of vegetables, like
mm-hmm.
beans and beets and sweet potatoes. So you can make a green smoothie, an orange smoothie, a pink smoothie, like the.
Uh-huh.
You know, if younger kids, that can be really helpful.
Right. Yes. We can do the rainbow. We'll start with
yeah.
one color and work our way down. We
right.
do something.
And I also think it's important to just not forget about the nuts and the seeds and adding
mm-hmm.
those to salads and to smoothies.
Yeah. Because
in general, most Americans don't eat enough fiber. And so
mm-hmm.
to get more fiber into the diet is a really good thing.
Yeah,
I've been actually making, this doesn't have vegetables in it, but I could throw vegetables in it, but I've been lately making smoothies with blueberries and mac nuts and chia seeds. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
good.
My morning smoothie is, has flaxseed in it that I mill right before I put it in with chia
Perfect.
Seeds and, and yeah, I've got a protein mix that is unsweetened, but it's all lentils and seeds that are sprouted and then powdered. So
yeah.
it's just this massive protein add. And so it definitely fills me up for a while.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, smoothies are a really good thing. And if there's leftovers, you make smoothie pops, and that can
mm-hmm.
be great to have in the fridge for, when you get the mutton, the kids go, want a snack and just pull that out.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I didn't think about that, but
yeah.
it's a little bit way better than the sugar and water that normally you get in those things.
Yeah, it's so easy to make popsicles. And again, you can have your kids do it,
mm-hmm.
If you have an 8-year-old and they can, or even a 5-year-old, if you're watching them,
Yeah,
do it. They're good if they're doing it, and because they're empowered by doing it, they're going to eat it.
Exactly. Yes.
At least
yeah.
try it.
Yep. Because I made this, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gives them that confidence. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you have any pointers for parents who realize that maybe their own choices need to change? And I know we talked a little bit about just adding some color, but even just getting for themselves, I need to make this change, but where can I start that's maybe simple and just a first step?
I think probably the biggest thing you can do is probably not go to the grocery store hungry. I find when I go to the grocery store and I'm hungry, that's when I'm like, I start to go in the middle. Everyone likes some chips and salsa, which is okay every once in a while, but
mm-hmm.
you don't want to go there first. But I think this is the big tip that I give parents, for themselves, for just the family in general, is don't keep, the junk food in the house.
Yeah.
Balance is fine. I rarely ever tell, even my Starbucks story with my daughter, I'm not going to tell my patients not to eat something. I'm going to try to, be creative
mm-hmm.
and kind of come around the other side. So if there's none of that easy, quick food that's in the
mm-hmm.
pantry, then nobody's going to grab that. So if you have like a bowl of blueberries in the fridge and some cut up vegetables or, you know, things like that, or apples or bananas, and you know, you make your own smoothie or the smoothie pops, you know, put those in the fridge. Even your teenagers will be all over that as well. So, but that doesn't mean you can never have it. So reserve that, you know, junk food, you know, for when you go to dinner parties or birthday parties or picnics, or barbecues or what have you. So it's not something that you can't have. It's just not in the house, because guaranteed 100% for sure, it's the first thing everybody, even me, like I'll grab it.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You just want that quick bite, because making healthy food takes time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you just really have to plan around. I know I make these, they're a version of a sugar plum, which nobody really knows what a sugar plum is. But if you look at like the Lara bars, it's that, but I roll them in balls and then I roll them in chia seeds.
Yeah.
And I just have a plate of them in the fridge. So there's like walnuts and a bunch of, you know, dried, like dried cranberry powder and all dates and all these other things in there that are good for you. So
yeah, you could even roll something like that up with like even cacao nibs, you know, so it makes it a little bit more with some coconut, you know, like as a treat too. Like you were saying earlier, like, you know, the kids, like, if it's in your husband, remember, he's like, oh wow, yeah, it was still really good without butter. So they don't really always have to know what's in it, but if it tastes good, then
yeah,
it's a good thing.
It's good for them to get their hands on it and roll it up, and yeah, it's fine. So yeah, let's see. You know, I've got about 12 minutes left. I'd like you to really talk about the different books in your Human Body Detective series and what they teach, so that it, parents can kind of understand a little bit about that curriculum and maybe something that they want to. Think about including in their this year.
Yeah. I would love to talk about it, because it's kind of my passion. I mean, I kind of stumbled across it, like we were talking about earlier, that that kids weren't learning this stuff in school about the human body and the different organs within the body, and then how nutrition plays such a big role. So once I realized that was missing in kids' education, I wrote the first book called The Lucky Escape, and it's a journey through the digestive system. So it's engaging, it's entertaining. They're basically little detectives. So in that book, their baby brother has swallowed a penny, and they're all very worried about that. They magically enter his body and chase this penny down, and along the way they're learning all about the digestive system and learning about some of the foods that is going to make that system work really well. Or actually, in the digestive system, it's more about how the food they're eating gets distributed and the cells. And I don't shy. What I've really noticed is that kids are really a lot smarter we give them credit for. So I didn't hold back on any big terms. So I talked about peristalsis and all these kind of fun scientific words, and created games around that that kids, they just kind of keep getting at it. So the book, you know, is this journey through the digestive system, and at the back of the book there's some activities and some fun things that, you know, that are actually more weave in nutrition. And then I wrote, so that one's on the digestive system, and that led me to the immune system and the circulatory system. And then teachers were asking me to create curriculum to go with it, to go a little bit deeper.
Right.
So, and I was like, I don't know how to do that. Luckily, I found a friend who's got a master's in education, and she helped me put that together. So
awesome.
I put together some curriculum to go along with this. So there's four lessons, like say in the digestive system, and there's tons of activities, like ranging from, like I think with like the word peristalsis, like how many words can you find within peristalsis? So keep thinking about peristalsis, but it's also engaging them to learn more. And then crossword puzzles and you know, some other really fun things to really put it all together for them.
Awesome.
So I have the digestive, immune, circulatory, and then I did skeletal because people were asking for that, and then brain. So the skeletal, I kind of weave in some muscles work there. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up writing the curriculum to go with it all. So, and each curriculum has about four lesson plans, tons of activities. The kids have to learn this stuff.
They do. We spent 12 weeks. I think we spent, we did a 12-week unit study on the human body, and I think it was one of my kids' favorites. I mean, they loved how gross it was, and yet how interesting it was. I remember my daughter saying, you know, if we looked at pictures of what's like under the skin, she's like, oh, don't show me that.
Well, it's so great. It's my curriculum. It really gives my goal was to just really give the foundation of each system so that they can layer on top of that. So as long as you understand, right, especially with the immune system, I was inspired to write that one because my older daughter was learning about the immune system. I think she was in grade 3 and she was coming back with homework. And I'm like, this teacher, I'm not discrediting her, but I was like, wow, she's really jumping the gun. Like, if we could teach the kids just about eosinophils and lymphocytes, the different white blood cells, and so that they get a sore throat and they can go to when they're at the doctors, they can be like, oh yeah, you know, like hopefully my lymphocytes are working really well. I mean, that is the take home for me.
Right.
And then you go to, like you're saying, the books and they get so curious, they want more.
You want to engage. And I think that's kind of been the theme of, you know, what we've talked about tonight is just getting that interest level high so that they see how all of these things integrate into their own life. It's not like just all these things I study about this body that I can't do anything about. It's, you know, it empowers them. You know, it's what we called it, empowering them to make healthy choices, but empowers them to redirect their life, like you were talking about at the very beginning.
Yeah. And the thing with kids too is they want to feel good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, so it, once they start realizing that what they're eating makes them, like how that food makes them feel and how it makes them function, like they're so easy to convert.
Yeah.
You know, they'll start asking. And then, you know, I have had some kids come back to me, especially when I'm in the classroom, is they're like, well, my mom and dad don't buy that. That's why it is really important. I'm glad you're doing this. Mm-hmm. The parents do have to get on board. And it does go back to that monkey see, monkey do.
Right.
And because you don't want to lose that curiosity, that empowerment that the kids want to have. Like, you really want to inspire them to have that.
Right. Yeah. Because we can get stuck in a rut. I mean, that's why we see so many families following that same genetic pattern. It may not be genetic. It may just be what you're eating as a family and you have in the last generation too.
Yeah. And it's the habits. And I definitely always want this to be a take home, is that we have to be gentle with ourselves because change is hard. Getting out of habits is hard. But once you start making that awareness and start making new choices, and then you start feeling better, and then that's when everything clicks in, and it just becomes innate, and that's just what we're doing.
Right.
That's why earlier we can kind of instill this and teach our kids this, then, you know, we're going to avoid all those chronic diseases and problems in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I totally agree. So, yeah, unfortunately, I learned that lesson a little late, but not too late, thankfully.
No, it's never too late.
Never too late.
It's always something I'm learning. So, walnut oil, I'm like, I should buy that next time I'm at the store.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been rather adventurous lately. So I'm just started ordering from some guys that have a 1-acre farm and they grow all sprouts. And so they're like, okay, so we deliver every other week. And I'm like, oh, awesome. Gonna get broccoli sprouts and a whole bunch
of
different things.
Yeah, those are good for you.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So we could continue talking for hours. But
yeah.
It looks like we have one comment here. Thanks so much. Amy says, Thanks so much. My special needs children learned a lot from your book. It helped me simplify scientific facts.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot. So, I know I remember I got one comment. This was years ago, like right after, I think the circulatory system book came out. And this woman, this mom had bought it for her, I think, 7 or 8 year old boy, but her like 4 year old girl loved it so much.
Mm.
And they were at the grocery store and they were in the produce section and the little girl screamed out, "I need strawberries for my red blood cells."
Oh.
That's why I'm like, I don't even think I talked about that. But, you know, that's, you know, it's just the fact that she's asking for a whole food is just so wonderful.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So if you want to find that curriculum, go to humanbodydetectives.com and you can find that there and all the things that Dr. Heather talked about. And yeah, if you like, want to include that. So we're going to continue as we continue with this theme. We're going to talk about I didn't even write it down, but next week we're going to talk about helping your kids to self-regulate, and especially kids on the autism spectrum, making good choices. And we're talking about making good choices in behavior next week, and how to reward that positively and work towards better behavior. And so we have a guest coming on for that as we continue on with this theme this month. But I just want to thank you, Dr. Heather, for your time and for all the wealth of information you shared with us. It's hopefully inspired our community to think about their choices and how to empower their kids a little better.
Thank you. That was great. It's always fun to talk about this stuff. So
yeah,
I feel honored to be here. So thank you.
Yeah, you are welcome. And also thank you, Dr. Lynn Erb, for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. As we talked about in the halfway between, you can call her. She doesn't have a website, but her phone number is 610-659-8864 if you want a psychoeducational evaluation. That's what she does. And so anyways, thank you all for joining us this week on Sped Homeschool Conversations, and we will see you all again next week. Hi, everyone.